Heavenly Father, we thank you for the voice that calls us, the voice of John from the wilderness, the voice of Isaiah that calls us to rejoice. Above all, Lord, we give you thanks that these voices call us to look to you and to look to the Savior that you send for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'll be a little honest with you right now, feeling a little pressure. Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding. You set me up to be Mr. Joyful this morning. Grace about. And just to let you know, the socks aren't totally pink. They just have some pink spots and stripes on them. Okay. But it has been a week of joy. And then Isaiah points us to joy. Specifically with these words, he says, the wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing with and joy. And then he concludes this section with a word about these ransomed ones, the redeemed, the ones who have been bought back with a price. He says, they will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. And that's the tension in which we are living, that tension between sorrow and mourning and joy and gladness. Based on what we've been doing with Advent, we did Hope Is a couple weeks ago, and people would fill in the blanks. We did Peace Is, and people would fill in the blanks. And so taking that in mind, I stuck my head in a few offices, and I said, just fill in the blank. Joy is. Rebecca and Kristen looked at me like, Jacob looked at me like, what? Brendan Norp came through. I stuck my head in his office. I said, joy is, he said, a box of chocolates. Exactly. Fill that in. Joy is. Maybe for you, it's like me. I saw joy in the faces of my two oldest grandchildren, Jack and Claire. Christina took them, our daughter took them to the movie Frozen 2 on $5 Tuesday. There's joy in that. $5 Tuesday, put up pictures of them and a big vat of popcorn. And there's this just expression of joy on their faces. We celebrated Ollie and Claire's birthdays yesterday. We have a lot of joy in December in the Meggers household. Our son's birthday is this coming Wednesday. The grandkids have birthdays on the 4th and the 20th of December. It's just a great month of joy. And so we got together and you just see the joy on their faces as they're celebrating their birthdays and they're trying to blow out the candles, all that neat kind of stuff. I got to see, and I'm calling all these small J joys, by the way. Got to see joy in the way that this town lights up at Christmas time. Some of you are familiar with Candy Cane Lane. Some of you have gone to Wild Lights. I had a chance to go to Garden Glow. And just let the light and the darkness be a reminder of the joy of Christ coming. Now, I want to recognize something in the room. And that is that some of you might be very, very uncomfortable at this point. Like, maybe I'm in the wrong place. Because quite honestly, Pastor Meggers, I'm not where you're at right now. For me, this is not a season of joy, small j joys. This Advent is it's a tough season. It's a season in which, yes, I'm looking forward to singing joy to the world, but there's a lot of loneliness in my life. Or maybe, Pastor, you don't get it. I suffer with depression. And the more some of you folks talk about joy, the deeper my depression gets, because I'm not feeling it. I'm not getting that joy. I didn't have much joy when I came to preach last night. I was supposed to go yesterday to a concert with a number of you folks. And my joy was made incomplete in that I could not find the tickets for that concert. I turned my desk upside downstairs. You're going to be impressed how clean it looks right now. The other desk, we went through every coat pocket that I have. I told Sharon this morning, I said, if you find an envelope that has tickets to the Ambassadors of Harmony concert in it, burn it. I don't even want to know. And just in that small sense, this realization that in this season of joy, there are a lot of folks that, well, are just weighed down by some of the gloom, despair, lack of encouragement. And if that is the case, then this word of Isaiah is a word for you. As the prophet practically shouts out, and this is sort of a paraphrase on my part. He says, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall bloom and rejoice. Weak hands will be strengthened. If your heart isn't strong, it will be made so. God is coming. If you are blind, you'll be able to see. If you can't walk, you will soon be running all over the place. Those who have harassed, bothered, mocked you, or tried to destroy your life will be banished. You will be in a safe place called the highway of God, the holy way. Today is the Joy Sunday in Advent. It's the day of the pink candle. It's the day that we celebrate and focus on joy, capital J joy. And in the midst of that, I know that those small J joys are there in your life, but there's also that tension with the struggle with the things that are much less than joyful. The lights of Christmas are out and they're twinkling. And yet there's that same recognition that pretty soon we're going to turn them off and tuck them away for another season. The carolers are singing. And the radio station's tuned to that station that plays Christmas all the time, only to be changed back to whatever they play normally during the rest of the year. Presents are going to be wrapped and then unwrapped and then I don't know what happens with them after time, but they end up in a closet or on a shelf or at a garage sale or at the reselling shop. As we all know, I think we know, right? We live in that tension, that struggle between the less joyful times and the joyful. And in the midst of that comes the word that invites us to joy. Some of you might be familiar with a Christmas carol. It's one of my favorite little small J joys at Christmas time because it points to the capital J joy that is ours in Christ. Charlie Brown is in quest for that spirit of Christmas. He's just not feeling it. And Linus says to him, Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know of that can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. Maybe. And maybe not. Think of the first Christmas. I think it was fraught with some problems. Taxation, lack of transportation, very little accommodation for the Savior. Take a look at John and his disciples. These guys have some problems with this coming of the Messiah. They're not exactly joy-filled about this Jesus. They say to John, is this the Messiah? And he, what does John do? He points them to Jesus. And when they are pointed to Jesus, they go and ask the question, are you the Messiah? And what does Jesus do? Jesus points them to the prophet. He points them to the Word. And he says, go tell John what you see and what you hear. The blind see and the deaf hear and the lame walk. In fact, the prophet says they're going to leap for joy. And the prophet Isaiah points his people, who are admittedly coming out of a very dark place, at least in this prophecy section of Isaiah. There's a prophecy of the dark places that they're going to be. But out of that, God says, through this prophet Isaiah, I have a word of promise for you. I have a word that is going to bring rejoicing for you before it ever even happens again. And you will rejoice. So in this week, whether you are a lot of little capital or small J joys or whether it's more of a time of loneliness and despair, look to the prophets. Look to the joy that is found in that word of God. Isaiah fully acknowledges that the word of joy comes out of a dark place. And for you who might be in a dark place, that word of joy comes to you in much the same way. Because it's not small J joy. It's not joy that's going to fade when the season's done. It's not joy that's going to disappear once we move into the new year and the trees come down and the decorations are all put together for another time. It's not joy that's going to fade off the faces of my grandchildren as they probably got in the car and went from having these angelic faces of joy to probably kicking each other and having an argument on the way home. This is not the fleeting kind of joy that we celebrate this morning. I'm not the happy, happy, joy guy. But I am joyful because the joy that fills us is not circumstantial. It doesn't get tucked away. It shines in the darkness. That's the pink candle, the candle of joy, because it is the joy that is ours in a God who came in fulfillment of his promise, in the God who comes to us in this sacrament that we're about to celebrate, comes to us in this word, comes to us to make his own through the waters of baptism, comes to journey to a cross on our behalf, comes out of an empty tomb, and then when he departs this world, he promises, I'm going to come again and bring joy to the world. Joy to the world, congregation. May that peace that surpasses all understanding and joy as well guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.